If you have your Bible, before we get into the teaching today, lift it up, whatever you have it on, whatever device here and at home, and let's make our confession of faith. Right now, the Bible's under attack. At Church on the Rock, we are still Bible-believing community, right? We got a revival of the Bible at Church on the Rock. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Amen. Can you thank the Lord for that? Can you give him a big praise? Hallelujah. All right, open your Bible with me today to Matthew. Pastor Kim alluded to this verse, Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Get something to take notes with. We're lifelong learners, right? At Church on the Rock. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to get stronger. In the days that are coming, you're going to need to be strong. The days that are coming, the persecution that's coming, it's my job to warn you, arm you, and prepare you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Bible says in Daniel 11, those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Now is the time for you and me and our church to be strong and to do exploits. Well, we talked about heaven a few weeks ago. And then a subject that I didn't want to talk about, but it's in the Bible. It was Jesus, his very first sermon in Matthew 5. Last week, we talked about hell. And there is a reality of heaven or hell. There is an afterlife. We need to be eternity-minded, right? And so we're gearing up for Easter, and we're preparing and giving you tools to do watch parties on your block. And you can invite people to church here online, Church on the Rock online. We're gearing up for Easter. We're believing God for a harvest like we've never seen. This could be the biggest Easter we've ever had at Church on the Rock in 37 years. Amen? Because there's so many different venues. There's so many different options. And so we're believing God together for your family that don't know the Lord, for your friends, for your coworkers, for your peers, for those you go to school with. We're believing God in Jesus' name. So this weekend, I want to talk to you. You can see it behind me on the subject of go. Everybody say go. I want to talk to you about go. The Bible has a plan for all of us. God has an assignment. God has a will. God has a plan. And it's found in the Word of God. I'm simply today going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. Then I'm going to talk about it. Then I'm going to remind you what I talked about. So we're going to talk about discipleship. We're going to talk about being a disciple and making disciples. We've all been called to be a disciple of Christ, and then we've been called to make disciples. To be a disciple, my question today, don't answer out loud. Just think about it here and at home. Are you a disciple of Christ? Second question, challenge, are you making disciples for Christ? Are you a disciple, and are you making disciples for Christ? The word disciple simply means in the Greek, learner. So our power phrase at Church on the Rock, lifelong learners, is biblical. The definition of the word disciple means learner, pupil, or student. Actually, it means to be learning and doing and teaching. Can you say that with me? Learning, doing, and teaching. So are you a disciple of Christ? Second challenge, are you making disciples for Christ? And a disciple is somebody who's a pupil, a student of Christ. A pupil, a student of Christ. A disciple is someone who's learning and doing and then teaching. I love that, don't you? Learning and then doing. I'm not blessed in learning. I'm blessed in doing Amen, everybody. So a disciple is somebody who's constantly learning. And we have that environment here at Church on the Rock to continually learn. That's biblical. That's disciple. So a disciple is somebody who's learning and then doing and then teaching others. Discipleship cannot take place without relationship. Discipleship cannot take place without relationship. Right now, we are in a one-year anniversary, so to speak, of COVID. It was a year ago this month that it hit us here locally. And we found out that during this crisis, that relationship is crucial. Who we're running with, who we're listening to, and who we are around determines if we're a victor or a victim. So relationships are huge. Discipleship cannot take place without relationship. So who are the relationships in your life? Who are you listening to? And who are you pouring into? This is what we need to be doing now, not hiding, not retreating, not cowering down, not living in fear or anxiety or worry. We should realize that time is short. The clock is ticking. Let's make a difference. We should realize that this is the greatest hour of the church, that we are the last day generation. And what we need to be doing is not worrying, not be fearful or fretful or put our head in the sand, but we should be busy about the master's business. And he said, go. Everybody say, go. So we're talking about discipleship. We're talking about what is a disciple? Well, it's a pupil. It's a student. It's a lifelong learner. It's somebody who's constantly, every day of their life, as a Christian, learning, doing, teaching. And I really want you to grab a hold of this, and I can feel that you are, because your pastor who loves you, I want you to have the best Christian life you can have. I want you to have the best walk with God that you possibly can. I want you to have an elite Christian walk, so to speak, a champion Christian walk, so to speak. So it's important then that we know what a disciple is, right? It's a pupil. It's a student. It's somebody who's constantly learning, and then they're doing, and then they're teaching. A disciple is one. If they are one, then they're causing others to become one. Be one, make one. Be one, make one. Now, the goal of discipleship is not to be fat and sassy, settled in, and do nothing. The goal of a disciple, a relationship in discipling other people, in being a disciple myself, the goal of all of that is to grow into the likeness of Christ. The goal is not to be religious or super religious or judgmental or super spiritual or look down on other people or a holier-than-thou attitude. That is not the goal or quest of being a disciple. Being a disciple, the goal of that is that we grow into the likeness of Christ. I think that's where we got the term Christians, Christians. It actually means little Christ. So that's the goal of Church on the Rock, is to be disciples and make disciples. I'm giving you our mission. I'm giving you our vision for 2021. I'm giving you clear direction that we're not going to just sit by and let things happen. We're not going to be idle. We're not going to give in or cave in or retreat. We're going to stand up, speak the truth in love. And we're going to be pupils and students of Christ. And we're constantly going to keep learning, doing what? And teaching others. We're going to be one. We're going to make one. And our goal is that we all grow into the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do, right? That should be our mindset. Now, I know that you're in God's will and you're all Cardinals fans. It didn't go over too good, praise the Lord. But I'm a Cardinals fan, okay? And I can remember years ago during the era of Mark McGwire. Anybody remember that era of Mark McGwire? Y'all remember Big Mac land down at the stadium? Wasn't that cool just to see him come up to the plate and do his ritual that he would do at the plate? And then he would knock one of those out of the park. Oh, that was awesome. That was amazing. I love that. It was so cool. And you know, when I think of that, I think of that Mark McGwire would talk about on the bat a sweet spot. That when you hit that sweet spot on the bat, he could knock it out of the park. Everybody say sweet spot. You know, if you're a tennis player, I know some of you are, there's a sweet spot on the racket. That if the ball hits there, that's where you want it to hit. It's a sweet spot. I've heard of basketball players in the NBA, especially, they say on the court, there's a sweet spot. And if they get that sweet spot, then there's a three-pointer right there. Everybody say sweet spot. So the sweet spot for Christianity is discipleship. Could that be why there's so many disgruntled, negative, critical, sarcastic, giving up Christians in the world today? Could that be because they're so self-centered, it's a small, small world, to quote Disney? Could that be why they're never happy, they're never satisfied, they're never content, they're never secure, they're never stable, they're always miserable, they're always negative, you can never please them, they're never happy? Could that be because they haven't found their sweet spot? The sweet spot. I've been a Christian for a half century, and I found in my own life that the sweet spot is when you're constantly learning, applying what you're learning, and investing in other people. It's called discipleship. Could that be the missing mark? Could that be the missing ingredient in the recipe for Christianity? Could that be why so many people backslide? They start off, but then they don't continue. That could that be why those who started with you are not with you today? Because they had different goals, ambitions, aspirations, and mindset other than what God said. The sweet spot is go and make disciples. Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise. Everybody here and at home. So this weekend and next weekend, I just want to talk to you about the sweet spot. I just want to help you get in that sweet spot where you're making those three-pointers, where the ball's hitting where it should on the racket, where the bat is hitting exactly the ball where you want on the bat. It's a sweet spot. I think Christianity will be better, will be happier, more fulfilled, more satisfied, more significant if we find our sweet spot. And the sweet spot is not celebrity status or being a rock star or being up front or being noticed. The sweet spot is carrying out God's commission. It's called great. The Great Commission. Go. Everybody say go. Okay, so y'all ready to get in the Word today? And let's look at it with that starting off there. So I'm going to go over to the board. And C.S. Lewis, got some quotes for you. C.S. Lewis. All who are called to salvation are called to discipleship. No exceptions, C.S. Lewis. Could that be why some people stop at salvation? They get saved and they soak and get self-centered, and that's why they don't make it. They don't run the race. They get shipwrecked. Getting saved is the beginning. Salvation is free. But discipleship will cost you everything. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost me everything. But that everything will lead me to significance. So we're all who are called to salvation are called to discipleship. No exceptions, C.S. Lewis. Matthew 28. Verse 18 through 20, this is our text. This is called the Great Commission, and you and I want a great life. So if we follow the Great Commission, which is a great commandment, we'll have a great life. We'll find our sweet spot. We'll find significance. We'll feel fulfilled. We'll make a difference by leading people to a God who's for them and helping them discover His will, His purpose for their life. I think that's called discipleship. Discipleship. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go. Oh, there's where I got the title for our series for this week and next week. Go, ye therefore, and teach. So what do disciples do? They teach. They learn and do and teach. And the goal of discipleship, I forgot, is what? Oh, y'all forgot too. See why we repeat? The goal of discipleship is to grow into the likeness of Christ. I knew you were just thinking about those cupcakes after church. Lost you for a minute. Come on back. Amen. Get back. Get back. Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we're to go and make disciples. We're to go and make disciples. That's huge. That's the great commandment. That's the great commission. And that's what we've all been called to do, is go. Here's a quote. The sweet spot in the Christian life is being discipled and discipling someone. That's the sweet spot. That's what I think so many people are missing as Christians. And when they find it and realize that we're to constantly be learning, we're constantly be learning, we're constantly be applying what we're learning, and then we're to be sharing it with somebody else. Why? We're investing in other people. We're looking for students and pupils who want to be like Christ. They want to grow. We're helping them and discipling them to get a solid foundation. A solid foundation. Because the Bible says that when the storms of life come, and they will come, if you build your house on sand, when they come, your house is going to fall. But if you build your house on the rock, church on the rock, when the storms come, your house will stand. The sweet spot in the Christian life is being discipled and discipling someone. A disciple. Number one, I'm going to give you characteristics now of a disciple according to the Word of God. A disciple, number one, puts God first. Well, that would eliminate a lot of people, wouldn't it? Because they put their family first, their kids' sports first, their job first, their hobbies first, their agenda, their routine first, their mate first, their boyfriend, their girlfriend. That's why I said salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. So you put God first. This is in the words of Christ. You put God first, Luke 14:26. Luke 14, verse 26, if you're taking notes, follow along. Jesus said, if any man or woman comes to me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own life, he cannot, she cannot be my disciple. Pastor, oh my goodness, you mean I've got to hate my wife and my husband and my mother and my father and my kids? I've got to hate my family in order to follow Christ and be a disciple? That's not what it means. Because other places in the Bible, it says you're to honor your parents for a long life. It says you're not to criticize your parents or belittle your parents. You're to honor your parents. The Bible, you all know, it says in Ephesians, you're to honor your wife. You're to honor your husband. Right? In Ephesians 6, it says, don't break the spirit of your children. Raise them up in the way of the Lord. So he's not saying literally hate your family. What is he saying? He has to come before your family. And this is the sweet spot. Now, a lot of people are eliminated right here because they just can't do that. They can't see that. But to have the sweet spot of Christianity, to have the abundant life, to make a difference, eternal difference, is they put God first. Put God first. So again, Luke 14:26, Jesus said, if any man or woman comes to me and hate not their father, their mother, their wife, children, brethren and sisters, yea, even their own life. I think we have to lose our life to find our life. He cannot, she cannot be my disciple. And remember, discipleship is God's ultimate will. So what does God want? He wants me to be a disciple, a pupil, a student all my life. Never stop learning. That's why I love Church on the Rock. I love you all because you love to learn. Amen. And that's Bible. That's disciple. We're learning, we're doing, and we're teaching, mentoring, discipling, coaching other people. Question, challenge, are you a disciple? Number two, who are you discipling today? Where do I look? Our relationships. In your relationships, when you get together, are your relationships God-ordained? Are those the relationships God wants in your life? Are those the relationships that you do have? Where are they taking you? And where are you taking them? The relationships, that's the pool, that's the pond, that's where we look to make disciples. Is your world full of unteachable people, rebellious people, negative people, critical people who don't want to learn? Then you're casting your pearls before the swine. We're not calling anybody a pig. We're simply saying that it's wasted effort on your part and will only create frustrations in your friendship. Wow. So he said, I cannot be his disciple if he is not first. Number two, a disciple takes up their cross and follows him. They deny themselves daily, right? So number one, I forgot, what does the disciple do? They put God first. We could spend months just on that right there. But I think we get it right. Number two, they take up their cross and they follow him daily. Scripture for that, same chapter, Luke 14:27. And whosoever does not bear their own cross, we all have a cross to bear, comes after me, whosoever does not bear their cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So as a Christian, I refuse to count the cost. As a Christian, even though I'm a Christian, I don't put God first. Guess what? I'm a Christian, but not a disciple. So you can be a Christian and not a disciple, right? You sure can. We know them. They go to the church in another galaxy, far, far, far away. We know Christians who aren't growing. They're not learning. They don't want to learn. They don't want to change. They don't want to adapt. They don't want to adjust. They don't want to reframe. They don't want to renew. They're satisfied where they are, and they have that kind of attitude that I don't need to learn anything. I don't want to learn anything. Now, they're Christians if they're born again and Jesus is Lord, but they haven't found their sweet spot. That's why they're never really fulfilled in any church, in any job or any school. They're never fulfilled because they haven't found the perfect will of God, which is to be a disciple and make a disciple. So whosoever doesn't bear their cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. Am I helping anybody today bring clarity for a higher, higher walk with the Lord? Higher walk with the Lord. Now, but before we go to number three, I don't know if we're going to get there. I want to go back. I'm going to do my little retreat here. I want to go back. And number two, they take up their cross and they follow him and they deny themselves daily. Isn't that what the scripture says? Deny yourself daily. So salvation is free, but discipleship will cost me something. It will cost me that daily, everybody say daily, daily, daily we'll have to deny ourselves. And the cross, just let me explain. Did you know that, I know we thank God for the cross and the old rugged cross, and Jesus hung on a cross, and everyone who hung on a cross was cursed, and he took our curse, right? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. So the blessing of Abraham, I understand that, right? But did you know that the first century Christians didn't wear a cross? The first century Christians, to let people know they were Christians, they didn't tattoo crosses. They didn't wear chains with crosses. They didn't have Bibles with a cross on the cover of their Bible. The first century Christians, do you know what the symbol was if you were a Christian? A fish, not a cross. It was a fish. For the first 100 years of Christianity, the symbol, the token, the brand of when they would approach one another, that they knew that there was a fellow brother or sister in Christ, in the Christian community, was a fish, a fish. But here we see, take up your cross. So the cross in the times of Christ, it was a terrible thing. The Romans would crucify Christians. The Romans would crucify Christians. It was one of the worst tortures they could do. So what is Jesus saying when he says take up their cross? He's saying it's going to cost you something every day to be sold out for Christ. It's going to cost us something. There's a price to pay to be a disciple of Christ. And I believe that there's a lot of sifting and a lot of shifting going on today in the body of Christ, in the church. And I believe it's time for us to stand up and speak the truth in love. I believe that it's time for us to pick up our cross. In other words, count the cost. It's not going to be easy. More persecution is coming, but if we're armed, if we're strengthened, if we know who we are in Christ, if we're a disciple, a pupil, and a student, we're learning, we're doing, we're growing, we're teaching. And we're pushing back the darkness and taking new ground. Come on, can you give the Lord a praise? So when he says, take up your cross and follow him, he said there's a price to pay. It will cost you something to be an on-fire Christian in the last days. And then when he says, deny yourself, what does that mean, deny yourself? That means that every day of your life, you and I got to realize we can't do what everybody else is doing. I can't do what every other Christian is doing. I can't do what other people, the crowd, I can't do what everybody else is doing, even though my flesh may want to do it. I may feel like doing it, but I can't do it. I have to deny myself. You know, growing up, you as parents, you can identify. Growing up, our two sons would see other kids in the church doing stuff, and they say, so-and-so's kid's doing it. Why can't we? And I would say, because in our house, there's a different code. There's a different code in our house, boys. There's a different culture in our house. Just because other Christians in our church are doing it doesn't mean it's right for us to do it. We have to deny ourselves. Even though you feel like doing it, your flesh wants to do it, you can't do it. Disciples learn daily to deny themselves. That even though it may not even be sin, if it would cause somebody to stumble, you deny yourself. Today we're talking about the sweet spot. Everybody say sweet spot. And that sweet spot, as the team comes, is being a disciple and making disciples. Praise God. Now you can be a Christian and not a disciple, but you can't be a disciple and not a Christian. That's huge. Well, there's an anointing here today. Because I think we're finding our sweet spot. This is the missing ingredient. Who are you discipling? Who are you pouring into? Who are you coaching? Who are you mentoring? What are your relationships and where are they going? I think these are some things we should be looking at in the season we're in at the end of the age. Amen, everybody? So everybody say, go. Say, I'm on the go.
Thanks for watching this week's message. Here at Church on the Rock, our purpose is to help you know God better. And one of those ways is through Growth Track. We have a 4-step process online that you can take anytime, or maybe consider joining us in person. But to take your next step and to find out all the incredible things we have to offer here at Church on the Rock, I encourage you to go over to cotr.org/online, or you can email us at online@cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.